He's really into his fashion. He doesn't overbuy. He only buys when he needs it. And his clothes are like decades old. And he's very particular about his clothes. No one's allowed to touch it. They're kept in pristine conditions. The care he had for his clothes is like he's caring for me. And that kind of care for his clothes is what I wanted for my company. I want my customers to care for their clothes like my granddad does for his, and cherish it for years and years, and invest in a piece rather than this throwaway culture. How he treats clothing is how I wanted my customers to.
This is A Sustainable Mind, where we delve into the minds behind today's most impactful environmental campaigns, organizations, and startups, inspiring the environmental changemakers of tomorrow. I'm your host, Marjorie Alexander. The Granddad Company is a closed-loop upcycling brand whose mission it is to breathe life into reclaimed vintage menswear for a new unisex generation. Rooted by the love and admiration for granddads, founder and designer Jess Greck adopted her philosophy and core values from her stylish granddad. The brand uses her granddad's unused items and combines them with vintage clothing her granddad would wear to create a limited edition item which could never be made again. Jess, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to be here.
Good to have you. Good to have you. So you're quite young. Do you mind telling us how old you are, or at least what range?
Yeah, well, I'm 23. I'm going to be 24 in a month's time.
Okay, congrats.
Yes, I'm quite young to have a business.
Well, you know, these days, especially with the internet, you can learn just about anything, not just how to be a great business owner at a very young age, but also how to promote that brand. And, you know, if there's anything that young people have a very good grasp on, it's social media. So good for you. I'm always excited to have young people on this show to, you know, highlight some of the things that they're doing in the community, whether it's founding their own business or their own organization or leading community groups. I always find that that's super, super inspiring. So let's jump in and start with, how did nature, the environment, and sustainability play a role in your childhood growing up?
So when I was in secondary school, I had a keen interest in joining every after-school club possibly. I was in origami club, one of three people, and I signed up to the youth club at my school. And there was a course with Trade Charity, which is a charity shop that also upcycles clothing. And they did a course which was only meant to be a year, but it ended up getting extended to 3 years. So through that experience, they educated me on sustainability within the fashion industry, all about ethical fashion, who makes your clothes. And it was a massive eye-opener for me, because as a child, you just see what you receive, you just see the end result of a product. You kind of don't, you're just not educated or even think about the process of what goes into that piece of clothing and kind of waste. You're kind of not made to think about that. I know that it's changing in this day and age, but when I was younger, it kind of wasn't really a trend, sustainable fashion at that point. So it was a massive eye-opener for me. So through that course, I learned a lot about sustainability. I got to visit the warehouse, which is really cool. I remember doing our first fashion show at King's Cross St. Pancras Station. And I wanted to show my outfits so much that I did something like 9 outfits. I spent, I literally was sewing, everyone else had one. So I was like constantly on the catwalk going up and down, like loving life, thinking, yes, this is it. And I remember being in the like Islington Gazette, and I still got it in my workshop, like stapled to the wall, because that was like when I really realized that I love fashion and this is what I wanted to do. So through that course, I really learned about the environment and nature and sustainability. And I think it shaped kind of my career And basically the rest of the way I thought about the world, it completely changed, which I'm very thankful for, because I think if I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't have found this passion. And I think sometimes it's more about having the information to act on it. I think as more people learn about kind of the waste within fashion, that more people would be shopping and making more ethical decisions.
Fantastic. I mean, that's a wonderful origin story for any company. And I find that it's really nice when you kind of organically stumble into an interest and find that it is absolutely a passion. I think that so many people throughout their lives, they just are kind of stumbling along, but don't ever find anything that interests them that much. So I would consider that to be really a privilege to have that sort of clarity, you know, at such a young age. I mean, I knew that I was really into media, but I had no idea that I wanted to focus on environmental issues until my 20s. And sometimes I wonder if, you know, if I would have gotten more into sustainability at an earlier age, you know, where I would be at this point. But I'm really comfortable with where I'm at. So I'm grateful for my journey as well. So let's talk about the granddad company. So obviously, like you mentioned in your bio, your granddad does play a part in this. Tell us a little bit more about that particular connection and why you decided to actually name the company that.
So my granddad is just someone that I've constantly looked up to my whole life. He's just, to me, the most admirable human to me. He's so moral, he's kind, he's hardworking, he's accomplished so much in his career, and I've always looked up to my granddad. He's from Malta, and his dad actually was a massive inspiration to him. He was a sculptor in Malta, and he has a road named after him and a restaurant. He's like a massive name in Malta and Italy for the sculptures that he produced. So my granddad didn't really like school, and he decided to drop out and learn a trade. And I think he was learning it from the age of 14. And from then he left Malta at 16 and came to London to learn the trade and get just move and have a better job in London. And he went on to do some amazing things. He had his own factory at one point. He helped people with autism to create woodwork. And he just had such a great career that had such passion. And he followed his dream from being 14 and leaving school all the way to now. He's still always making stuff in a workshop and doing stuff for the neighbors now. And I just kind of saw that passion and how well he succeeded in life. And I just saw that as an example, kind of as a person, how he is, and also within his profession. Yeah, so I just kind of used him as a kind of, I idolized him basically. And that is how the kind of granddad company existed. He's really into his fashion. He doesn't overbuy. He's very like, he only buys when he needs it. And his clothes are like decades old. Like he's also got OCD, and he's very particular about his clothes. No one's allowed to touch it. They're kept in pristine conditions. If he lets me wear an item, I have to be with him. And he is like, no one could go too near me because I'm wearing his jacket. And the care he had for his clothes is like he's caring for me. And that kind of care for his clothes is what I wanted for my company. I want my customers to care for their clothes like my granddad does for his, and cherish it for years and years and invest in a piece rather than this throwaway culture. So I see a lot of kind of like how he treats clothing is how I wanted my customers to. So I just kind of use the bond that I have with my granddad as I admire him and how he is with his clothes. And I just thought it just makes sense to make the granddad company and include him in it. I think he's not the most loving person. He's not very he's loving behind closed door, but he's not really good at showing his emotions. So a gesture like this has meant so much to him. And it means that that brand is always a personal connection with the one person I'm closest to in this world. So like, I've got that something we could share. So it was just a nice thing to do for him and for myself.
That's amazing. And gosh, I mean, just the way that you talk about your relationship with your grandfather and the things that he did throughout his life and the impact that all of those had, the granddad company, the name means so much more hearing the story behind it, not just the fashion that he has, but actually the care that he actually took to care for those clothes over the years. And, you know, before we get into kind of the nuts and bolts of the company, I found it really interesting that you talked about how he cared for his clothing almost as if he knows he's going to have a lifelong relationship with these items. And like, can you imagine if everything that we purchased or received, how our relationship with those things would change if we thought, this is going to be in my life for decades to come. Let me figure out how I can take care of it, because then this item can also take care of me. So yeah, that's beautiful and definitely helps me understand a lot more deeply about your relationship to this company. So I do want to ask the question, you know, we've talked a lot about clothing and fashion. How do you feel as though your grandfather's example and also creating this company has impacted other areas of your life as far as sustainability goes?
I would say that it's impacted me because I've been really involved in creating a sustainable brand and kind of supporting other small businesses. When I was a part of Pebble Magazine's Future Fest event, I was exposed to all these amazing brands, and I've really embraced this kind of sustainability in all areas. I mean, I've been vegan for 5 years, but I've recently brought vegan skincare, and I've really kind of embraced sustainability as a whole in every kind of aspect of my life now, which is really good. And it's a really positive change for me.
Excellent. So I think that we understand why you chose an upcycling brand, but something that you've mentioned before is actually talking about how an upcycled brand and a sustainable brand are actually different. And I think as earth-conscious consumers, that's still not really a distinction that we always think about. Can you talk a little bit about what that distinction means to you and how it impacts us as consumers and what maybe we should be considering when we're thinking of becoming a customer of a brand or a company?
So I read this quote in a book that stuck with me, and it said, the most sustainable you could be is by using the waste we already have, which I think is resonated with me through this whole creating a brand. So with sustainability, although you're using sustainable fabric, you're still producing that. You're still adding to the waste. You're not eliminating the waste we already have. And with an upcycling brand, there's so many restrictions that a sustainability brand doesn't have. I think like a key example is that I would use two vintage items. You could only ever get one of them. I'll combine them and that's it. That's one design. I can't reproduce it. So once the design is gone, it's gone. I can't recreate that. And when it comes to, you know, marketing and people wanting multiple sizes, it's really constricting for an upcycling brand to have. I think that that's the main difference, is that it's hard for an upcycling brand to grow as a sustainable brand can. I think it's because of the model, the design process and the model it is, it's not scalable. So I think it's also a lot more work. You have to reconstruct pieces together, which is it's very time consuming. I'm picking stitches, separating all the panels to re-sew again, rather than just having fabric and stitching it together. So it's more time consuming. It's harder to scale to become a business that can produce loads of items. And when it comes to kind of marketing, there's like with influencers, I will never give one of my items away for free for marketing. It's a decision I've made just because I love my pieces so much. I feel like I want them to be cherished by someone that really cares about them. So it's been hard for the business to grow because a lot of small brands do use influencers to help grow in followers. But it's a decision I've made not to do because of the time, the effort. And I honestly love all my clothes. If they don't sell, I'll happily wear them. But obviously, I make them to sell. So so it's a conscious decision I made for marketing to not gift items. So it's hard for it to grow through marketing also.
And your pieces are beautiful and very cool. And I don't own one, but they look incredibly well done. I mean, you clearly have put a ton of time and care and love into these pieces. Just so people can know where to find you on Instagram, your handle is The Granddad Company, all one word. And these pieces are freaking awesome. I'm curious, and this is just my personal interest. Is it just you that's working in the company? Do you have a small team or another individual that works with you?
Nope, it's literally all me at the moment.
Oh my gosh, your branding is fantastic.
Thank you. I honestly, it took me ages to work out how to do a logo. I've literally done everything myself: the website, the logo, the Instagram account. Everything. And I kind of like that, even though it's a lot of work, I'm involved in every aspect of the business, and it does generally make me feel more connected to the brand. But yes, it's a lot of hard work, but I'm sure that I'm hoping it will be my forever company. So I'm really hoping that this company is going to grow.
Well, I don't know about where you are in Europe, but here in the States, I mean, I'll go to like a college campus or you know, drive by a high school when class is letting out. And I mean, people are wearing all sorts of things that I saw in the 90s. So I'm sure that the launch of this company is perfectly timed. I mean, seriously, people are bringing back all sorts of stuff, and combined with a couple of items from today, you actually can make a really amazing and beautiful and unique wardrobe. But you're right. I mean, having a business is certainly challenging, and especially you being a one-woman show. What are some of the challenges that you've faced, not just in creating an upcycling brand, but just in creating a business in general?
I think firstly, I ended up doing a how to run a fashion brand course with Elizabeth Styles, which is like a 4-week course. That has really helped me to kind of break down what goes into creating a brand. I think the most important thing that I learned from that course is the ethos and like the story behind it. And I think that's what makes the Granddad Company so amazing. So that course helped me break it down. Once I launched, I think the hardest part for me was Instagram and marketing and balancing that time. I got told that marketing should be 60% of your working life and the other 40 is the rest. And literally, I'm probably doing 80-20 at the moment, just because I've done most of the sewing now. But Instagram is definitely one of the hardest things to tackle. It's such a, you're competing against so many brands. There's all these algorithms. It's kind of a bit of luck. So like my friend, she has an embroidery business, and she got mentioned on her account, and she just grew in following up to like 20k following within like a week. So it's just fine. It's been hard to kind of find these right hashtags to kind of understand the Instagram algorithm and just marketing itself. I think it's such, you're competing against so many different companies all the time, and you kind of do get lost among so many companies. So I think marketing has definitely been the biggest struggle so far.
When did you found the company, by the way?
June 2020. So it hasn't
been. Oh my gosh. Okay. So you founded this business in the middle of a global pandemic. So I wouldn't be too hard on yourself. Business has changed for everyone, and a lot of, I think, what just knowing a lot of entrepreneurs myself, you know, what worked, all of the, not the algorithms necessarily, but kind of the formula for what worked or what might work has completely shifted. And we're all kind of running around trying to figure out what the new thing is. How can we get people's attention? But I think also one great thing is we're paying a little bit more attention to what's already in our homes, because a lot of us have just been stuck at home for many months, at least a lot more than we have been in the past. So I think that this brand is perfectly timed, and I so appreciate what you do, especially now knowing a little bit more about the background of the company and that you're doing all of this work yourself. Every piece is completely unique, which is amazing. And speaking of that, I kind of want to give our listeners a little peek into how they might be able to upcycle their own wardrobe or be able to maybe mirror a little bit of something that you do with items that are in their own closet. Do you have any suggestions for people that might have some items that have some holes or some rips or some parts of them that aren't great, but maybe they can do what you do, put together two or three pieces of clothing to make something brand new? Do you have any advice for those people?
Yeah, of course. So I'll start with kind of advice for people that hasn't sewn before. For example, my friend had a rip in a jeans that they wanted to cover up. And I said, because they didn't have any prior sewing experience, there's a fabric glue that you could use, and you could lay a piece of fabric underneath the rip, which is a really easy thing to do to cover up a hole. For people that do have basic sewing, the process I kind of upcycle is combining pieces together. So I'll combine a top of an item with a bottom of the item. The only tip I would say is to measure the kind of circumference of what you're adding together, because if you're combining an extra large and a large, it's just not going to work. They don't match up in fabric. There's going to be pleats. In terms of waste, how I ensure there's no waste in my design process is I actually take photos of all the vintage items on the floor, and then I will Photoshop it. I will cut it in different ways and digitally put it together, so I know how I'm going to combine it before I cut into a piece, just so there's no waste and I could visually see what it's going to look like before I do it. So that's a tip in terms of how I combine items together.
I have so many ideas going on in my head right now. You have no idea. We're going to have to talk after this interview, because I have some ideas about how we might be able to work together.
Oh, okay.
That I'm excited to to share with you. Okay. But now I have to pay attention, because my entrepreneurial brain is like, oh my gosh, so many ideas. And then I'm like, Marjorie, you're doing an interview. Pay attention. Okay. I did want to ask, you know, since we did bring up COVID, how has that affected your brand?
I think for me, so even though I launched in lockdown, I was working on the brand since January. So I was working in advance. So when lockdown hit, the demand for clothing kind of disappeared. A lot of people was turning to, you know, loungewear, comfortable wear. I mean, I've lived in tracksuit bottoms this whole lockdown. I can't remember what a pair of jeans feel like, and I'm not happy to go back into wearing jeans ever again, to be honest. But I had to, so I currently am launching a second collection, which is going to be like upcycled sportswear, because the kind of market has changed. Also, during lockdown, there was a rise in people making companies because they had the time. So I was also up against like more competition at the same time. So I think also I had a few events lined up with the launch. I was going to have a fashion show in Edinburgh because I applied to be a part of a fashion show and I got in, and that was going to be in March. So it was literally lockdown hit as soon as that was, and that was going to be the launch of my brand. So there's like opportunities I've missed through events and kind of the market changing and competition, but I would say that's the main effects of the Grandad Company for coronavirus.
Wow, you're doing amazing things, and I think because of the amount of time and effort and resources that you're putting into this, there will be plenty of more opportunities. People are adapting very quickly, and it seems as though you are as well. So I wish you the very best with this brand. I am so excited to be seeing what you're doing in the future. And I really hope that people will go to your website and check out your pieces. Your Instagram is freaking fantastic. Quick question. Do you take, I guess they would be donations? Obviously, it seems as though you are very intentional about the pieces that you utilize. But if there are individuals that have items, especially if they live in Europe a little closer to you, do you take pieces? Can people like send you stuff?
Yeah. So I have a scheme on my website. So I could upcycle your clothing in your wardrobe. And instead of you only pay for my time that I spend sewing. So I think next week someone's sending me a North Face puffer jacket, and I'm going to make a padded bucket hat for them. I've also had requests for dog coats. So I'm going to be launching a dog coat collection made out of the upcycled clothing, which is going to be cool. I've upcycled a dog bed. I get a few custom requests, and I've got a section on my website which says if you have any clothing, I offer you, I think it's 40% off the price it would have been because you supplied me with the material, so I haven't had to have that initial cost. So yeah, so people do send me items and I either sell it for them, but I also take donations in pieces which they just want to get rid of. Instead of putting it into a charity shop, they can send it to the brand, just because some charity shops, if they don't sell, they normally get shipped abroad, and there's a lot of waste that's getting shipped abroad that don't actually need this, that like it used to be useful, but now they just got so much stock they don't need anymore. So we're actually sending waste to other countries to get rid of it within our country. So it's kind of another way to ensure that your piece actually gets used sustainably.
That's fantastic. And I love that you do commission pieces. I think that that's so amazing. I mean, clearly, you know, you're from a family of entrepreneurs and artists, and you're just continuing the tradition. So this is amazing. So anyone that's interested in seeing Jess's pieces, check out the website, thegranddadcompany.com. She's also on Instagram, like I said, thegranddadcompany, and also on depop.com. If you're familiar with them, Depop, and that's /The Grandad Company. So before we get into our 7 sustainable questions, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor. Have you heard? It's now or never if we want to limit the Earth's rising temperatures and get climate change under control. I just watched an amazing new documentary called Solving for Zero. It's based on the best-selling book How to Avoid a Climate Disaster by Bill Gates. And it features innovations and the science and people behind them in 5 major industries that make up the majority of our carbon footprint. And I'm looking forward to its companion series, The Search for Climate Innovation, available to stream only on Wondrium. Wondrium is the subscription video service that gives you the skills to create a better you. Some of my recent favorites include tutorials on photography, woodworking, and mental wellness, and I get all of that in one ad-free subscription service. Join Wondrium today with a free 14-day trial of unlimited access just for listeners of A Sustainable Mind. To get this special offer, go directly to wondrium.com/ASM. Again, that's wondrium.com/ASM to sign up for your free trial today. So Jess, can you share with us one long-standing habit that you believe has significantly improved your life?
So I've been vegan for 5 years and it's honestly changed my life. I think that change made me feel really good about myself and what I'm putting into my body in kind of reducing that carbon footprint. I think that it's something that I'm doing for the environment every day. So it's a little change within my diet, but a big impact for the environment. So that's something that has really improved my life.
And what's one new habit that you're cultivating in your life right now?
So I have two. I am doing Pilates for the first time, twice a week. I don't know if you watch Maeve and Chelsea or it's a UK show only, but it's kind of like one of the people on the show, Verity. She did a free class, like a live 30-minute class. And I thought, oh, let me try it out. And it was actually, it's not what I expected it to be. I've done yoga before and I found it a little bit boring, to be honest. So I'm more into kind of challenging myself kind of mentally and physically. And I also used to, when I went uni, I did pole dancing for 3 years. And then I left uni and then it's been like 3-4 years now. And I finally put my pole back up in my living room, which took a lot of persuading for my mum because she did not want a pole in the living room. But because of lockdown, I don't think it would have ever gone up otherwise. So luckily I've managed to get a pole up in my living room and start getting back into that.
And what is one habit that you can suggest for our listeners that helps them care for their clothing so that it can last longer? Do you have any suggestions for that?
Yeah, of course. I would say that washing it in a duffy bag is really good. It also helps like microfibers from entering your washing machine. I would also say don't overwash your clothes. I know that some people might be like, oh, that's really gross, but the more you overwash your clothes, you're kind of damaging it, especially it depends where you purchase from. The high street, like the more you wash it, the stitching will come apart. It's also good for the environment. And I would just say, like, I always hang my clothes as well. I just think they sit better. You don't need to iron it and apply so much heat all the time. Yeah, I would say they're the tips I would give.
Those are actually great tips. And a couple of those I hadn't thought about. So thank you. I'm sure that there are many people that you look up to in the world of environmental sustainability in general, but when it comes to sustainable fashion, whose work do you admire?
So there's a designer called Bethany Williams. I've actually managed to meet her in a seminar once. And what I like about her is she is a designer that looks at sustainability in her process, but also brings in social issues with each collection. So she's done a collection in collaboration with Tesco and a food bank to highlight hidden hunger. She's worked closely with female prisoners. So she kind of tackles the environment and the social problems also in a positive way. And it's something that you're kind of thinking beyond. She thinks beyond the kind of environment and focus at social issues too. So that's something that I admire in her work.
Nice. Very cool. And I will have her listed in the show notes for this episode. Bethany Williams. I've not heard that name before, but I'll definitely be looking her up.
Yeah, she's very talented. Her clothing is beautiful.
Nice. Do you have an internet resource that you personally find helpful on a regular basis that you think would be beneficial to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so I enjoy Facebook groups. So I'm in one called Pebble Pop by Pebble Magazine, and they post sustainable funding opportunities, reports, sustainable brands, tips, recipes, and it's just kind of like an all-rounder of little sustainable tips that you can apply in your everyday life that isn't too overwhelming. So you don't have to read loads. It's just like a little tip here and there every day. So I think that's a nice way to apply things without feeling so overwhelmed. So I would definitely recommend joining Facebook groups like Pebble Pop.
Nice. I definitely think that that's a fantastic suggestion, and one that I've made a couple times on this show as well. Social media can be annoying, especially if you're aware of some of the data stuff that's going on, but there are definitely benefits to social media as well, bringing people together, that not just people that are like-minded, but also people that are looking for resources to share or to get resources on really anything that they're looking to learn more about. So thank you for suggesting that. As far as books, do you have any recommendations for sustainable minds out there that are hoping to become the change that they want to see in the world?
Yeah, so one of my favorite sustainable books is A Sustainable Handbook. It's quite a big read, but if you're really interested in sustainable fashion, that is the book to read. And also for people that's interested in starting a sustainable fashion brand, I would highly recommend the Fashion Business Manual. So it's really good for people that's really creative and not used to reading. It's got a lot of images. It's very easy to read. It covers everything from beginning to end in running a sustainable business. And yeah, I would highly recommend that book.
Excellent. And I do want to end on a fun note. So if you could be any piece of clothing, not an upcycled piece of clothing, but just an original, perhaps a vintage piece, what piece would you choose and why?
I think I would definitely be a jacket, only because it's not worn every day and it's normally adds the finishing touch to an outfit. Also, jackets are very durable. They're kind of made to last. They use thicker fabrics. They're resistant to weather, or some are, so it's more resilient and long. It will cause longevity.
Excellent. Just thank you so much for joining us today. If anyone would like to learn more about Jess and her company, The Granddad Company, again, like I mentioned, the website is thegranddadcompany.com. And again, she's on Depop and Instagram. Jess, do you have any final words or parting pieces of guidance to give sustainable minds out there?
I would just say, within this pandemic, I would say to support small sustainable brands, as most of them ain't eligible for government schemes. And it's just nice to make kind of sustainable options within lockdown.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you want to learn more about Jess Grek and The Granddad Company, you can visit thegranddadcompany.com, or you can get this link and all resources mentioned on today's episode at asustainablemind.com/093. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on A Sustainable Mind.